Well, as Brian said, the passage is in John chapter 8 on page 24 in the John's Gospels that you have around the tables. And I'll be reading from verse 12 to verse 20 of chapter 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come.
Thanks very much for reading. Brian mentioned, my name's Hugh. I work as a solicitor just near here at a firm called Slaughter & May. And it would be very helpful to me if you could keep this passage from John's Gospel open. It is, as Brian said, an eyewitness account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it has to say is a lot more important than what I have to say. And also, you should have an outline on the piece of paper that you were given when you came in. So that should give you an idea of where we're going. Louis XIV reigned as the King of France for 72 years. He was at the pinnacle of a political system called absolute monarchy, which was based around his own unlimited personal right to rule however he wished. He famously said, "L'état, c'est moi," which for the non-French speakers amongst us means that the state is me. It was a time of extraordinary opulence and luxury, or at least for the few people who were privileged enough to live at Versailles with King Louis. And he called himself the Sun King. And I believe I'm right in saying that there are works of art at Versailles that depict the whole kind of solar system, as it were, but rather than the sun being at the middle of it, there's a picture of Louis XIV instead at the middle of it. It's making a pretty unsubtle point about his view of his own importance. What incredible splendour, what incredible glory. Jesus of Nazareth, by contrast, was a travelling preacher in first century Palestine. He died the death of a criminal in his 30s at the hands of the hated Roman occupiers, and he was at that point he was abandoned even by his closest followers. And Jesus didn't call himself the Sun King. He called himself the Light of the World, the one who gives light and life to the whole world, the one, in fact, he claimed, who made the sun. Well, how pathetic that seems, doesn't it? What a joke. Today, we're going to be looking at that conclusion about Jesus, whether indeed it is pathetic and a joke, or whether we might actually have evidence to re-examine that conclusion. If you like, it might be worth comparing Louis against Jesus. And without wishing to give too much away, I would just remind us that Louis XIV died in the year 1715. He's nothing more than an interesting historical figure with no direct relevance for us today, whereas Jesus Christ is worshipped by millions across the world. But more than that, we're going to see that it's our response to Jesus Christ that determines whether we face God's judgment on the one hand or God's salvation on the other hand. So that's a bit of a picture of where we're going. There are three points as we go there, which are on the outline. And the first is this, that we're naturally in darkness. We're naturally in darkness. The verse we're going to be concentrating on this lunchtime is the one at the very start of what was read to us just now, verse 12, which I'll just read again for us. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's a wonderfully positive verse with loads of good news in it, news of a rescue that we're going to look at in a minute. But we won't understand just how good the news is until we first see what it is that we need to be rescued from. And so before we dive into that good news, what I want us to focus on is the assumption that lies in verse 12, which is that until we start following Jesus Christ, we're walking in darkness. We're naturally in darkness. And that is actually consistent with the entire message of John's Gospel. You might just want to flick to the very start of the Gospel, to chapter 1, verse 5, on page 3 of the Gospels that we have, where chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this is a famous reading that we may recognise from Christmas carol services, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus, wonderfully, is the light. It's been described in John chapter 1, but everything else is darkness. Or how about John chapter 3, verse 19? Just flick forward a couple of pages to chapter 3, verse 19, page 9. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." Jesus has come, but again, the natural state, he's saying in chapter 3, verse 19, of the people he's come to, is that they're in darkness, not in light. But what does darkness mean? I mean, I know we're in a grotty bar on a lovely summer's day that we pay for at exorbitant cost in the middle of the city. And I know also that we live in the UK, which is dark for many months of the year. But actually, even here in London, the sun shines sometimes, doesn't it? Well, the answer, of course, is that Jesus is speaking metaphorically. He's not speaking literally. Darkness in the Bible stands for a situation where all is not right between humanity and God. It's hinted in that verse we just looked at just now in John chapter 3, verse 19. Their works were evil. But actually, it's not just that humanity is evil, although that is true. No, also, because we are evil, actually, we are in trouble with God, according to Jesus. And so we face a guilty verdict before him. All of us, whether we think we're good people or not, whether we're respectable, upstanding members of society or not, we're all guilty before God. Throughout the Bible, when darkness comes onto the land, it is a sign of God's judgment, of his punishment of evil. Just think back, for example, of to the story of the Exodus, the famous story when God took the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And think that one of the plagues that God used to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt was the plague of darkness that came over the whole land of Egypt. It was a sign of God's judgment over that land of Egypt before the firstborn of every single Egyptian family died. And this section of John's Gospel started in chapter 5, in which Jesus explained that he came into the world as a rescuer and also as a judge to execute God's judgment. And so what Jesus is saying here is that as that justice is carried out, actually the natural verdict for everyone is guilty. We all face God's judgment. I want to suggest that darkness is an appropriate metaphor, because when we're in darkness, we don't know which way to turn, we grope around, we stub our toes and we fall over. And Jesus says actually that we prefer things that way, because we don't want what we do, the way we live our lives, to be seen, to be exposed. I don't know how it feels for you to be told that that's what you're like. It's not very flattering, is it? But actually, as I look into my own heart, I know it to be true. In my life, I feel often as if I'm groping around much of the time. I don't really know which way to go or which way to live, but I kind of prefer it that way because it means I won't be exposed, and I know I don't live the way God wants me to. which is silly, of course, because God can see in the darkness. We can't hide from him. Well, Jesus says that the predicament, that is the predicament facing all of humanity. We're in darkness, facing God's judgment, and not able to do anything about it. So that's the first point. The second point is that if we follow Jesus, he will bring us into the light. If we follow Jesus, he'll bring us into the light. And that is what makes it all the more wonderful that Jesus has come, not just as a judge, but also as a rescuer. Have a look again at that verse I read earlier, verse 12 of chapter 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, the message of the Bible is that on the one hand, Jesus is the one whose judgment we should fear. He is the one who will expose our darkness, our evil. But at the same time, he is also the very person to whom we flee for refuge from that judgment. And wonderfully, Jesus says that if we come to him, we will walk in the light. A beautiful picture, isn't it? Like shutters being opened for the first time in years into an old, dusty room as the light bursts in. But again, we should think about the metaphor that lies behind that. Jesus is saying he's the one who rescues us from that situation I was talking about earlier of being in darkness. In other words, he brings salvation. So if we follow him, we will be saved. Notice from verse 12, it's described as the light of life. Once that darkness is lifted, we have life, true eternal life, life as it's meant to be lived. It is impossible to exaggerate what wonderful news this is. If we really, truly taken on board the warning about God's judgment, then that reality will crush us until we've understood the joy that comes from knowing that the burden is lifted and that we can be in a relationship with the God who made us both now and forever. It is a profound joy, and I know that for myself, and I know many here do as well. But if you don't, can I urge you to find out for yourself so that you can have it too? I think of a friend of mine who became a Christian and started to follow Jesus Christ a few years ago. And before he did that, he chased pleasure, he had kind of enjoyable experiences, but actually he would now say his life was empty. He was groping around in the darkness. He didn't really know what life was about, and actually, even worse than that, he was facing God's judgment. But now he started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and wonderfully he's been rescued from that situation, and he is a much more joyful person, he would say, than he was before, because he's found the light of life. He's no longer groping around. Well, how do we get to that position? Well, look again at verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, this rescue that Jesus brings is not something automatic. A response is required. And the response is to become a follower of the Lord Jesus, one who trusts in him as the one who's gone before us, who he himself, didn't he? He faced darkness. He died. And not only did he die, but as he did so, he took the judgment of God on himself by taking the sins that were rightfully for which you and I were rightfully responsible for, but he took that judgment on himself. But then he rose, didn't he? And he rose to enjoy that light of life himself, and he enjoys it even now with God the Father. And if we entrust our lives to him, to Jesus, then that life, that light of life, can be ours as well if we become followers of his. So, first point, we're naturally in darkness. Second point, if we follow Jesus, he'll bring us into the light. Third point, if we reject Jesus, then we reject God himself, and so we'll continue to be under judgment. If we reject Jesus, we reject God himself, and so continue to be under judgment. The final point this lunchtime is on more of a down note than an upbeat, and that's not because I'm miserable. I'd like to think I'm not. It's because our passage is actually like that itself. You see, in these verses, Jesus has been speaking wonderful truths that I've just been explaining to those he's conversing with. But the people he's talking to don't respond with the joy I was talking about that my friend had when he started to follow Jesus. What do they rather do? Well, firstly, they start by questioning Jesus' right to speak for himself. So verse 13, the Pharisees who Jesus is speaking to, they say, "You're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." So he's basically saying, what right have you got to speak for yourself? Who are you, essentially? Which is ridiculous, because actually Jesus has already shown in John's Gospel how the Old Testament points to him. So actually he isn't speaking just for himself. He's got the whole of the Old Testament bearing witness to him. And they then after a few verses, they question his pedigree. So first of all, they question his right to speak for himself. Then they question his pedigree. Verse 19, they had said to him, therefore, "Where is your father?" What right have you got to lecture us, essentially? We're just we don't know who you are. You're just some random street preacher. What's your pedigree? And this is where I want to reply, pause, because Jesus' reply reminds us how high the stakes are when we respond to him. Because look at his response, verse 19. They said to him, therefore, "Where is your father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also." So the point Jesus is making actually is that his father is God himself, the God who they claim to worship. And the way we treat Jesus reflects the way that we treat his father. And what that means is that his judgments are right. Just have a look back a couple of verses earlier to verse 15. "You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." Jesus is saying his judgment is correct, because it's not just himself carrying out the judgment. No, it's him and his own Father, God himself, who carries out the judgment. And God's judgment is perfect. So Jesus will judge us not by imperfect human standards. No, he'll do so rightly, as the one who has every right to judge. And in the context of verse 12, the verse we started with, what that means is that we will continue to face the judgment of God and of his Son Jesus Christ for as long as we walk in darkness. We won't walk in the light. We'll be facing that guilty verdict that I described earlier. Well, I hope we can see how actually Jesus is far more worthy of that title of being light of the world than Louis XIV was of the title of the Sun King. He offers rescue from judgment to anyone who will trust in him and follow him for eternity. And I started by talking about one painting, the painting in Versailles with Louis XIV in the middle of the solar system. I'm going to finish by talking about a different painting, which is that my father, until he retired, was a fellow of Keble College in Oxford. And some of you may know that in the chapel there's a painting there entitled The Light of the World. That's the title of the painting. And it depicts Jesus knocking on a door, and the door is supposed to represent the human heart, wanting to come in and flood that human heart with light, the light of life, as dawn breaks in the background. It's a very beautiful painting. But I hope we can see, it's not just a beautiful painting, it's actually something that we each desperately need. So I wonder if I could encourage us this lunchtime to respond to this message of Jesus by following Jesus, the light of the world, and that by following him we might have the light of life, so that the darkness of judgment will be dispelled and the light will burst in. Shall I finish in a prayer? And then we can carry on with our day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, the light of the world, to dispel the darkness of your judgment. Please would you help us to follow him, we pray. In his name. Amen.